All right, and we're back here once again here on Couch Coach Live. We are on a special Monday night edition here under the lights here on Couch Coach Live, and we conclude our fourth annual Super Week as we recap Super Bowl 58. What's going on, Maui?
What's up, man? Hey, great man. Weekend, man. I just can't do nothing but smile, man. Like, it was just such a satisfying season, and like, just I know you being Couch Coach Live, man. I know you had to love this weekend, man, and everything all week.
Yeah, it's bittersweet, honestly. It's kind of one of the things where it's like, it's sad because football season's over. You think of just the other, you think about the NFL, you think about just football season in general is over, you know, even you know, even dating back to high school, college, and you know, now the NFL, and you know, now we get into the a different part of sports, which and it's kind of one of the things, but it's been a long road since what, August, and now we're here, fast forward here to February, and we're here as we're crowning a new Super Bowl champion, a repeat champion, that is the Kansas City Chiefs, as they won last night. So what we're going to do, talk about tonight, we're basically going to be recapping last night's Kansas City Chiefs win over San Francisco 49ers. We'll talk about our takeaways. How on earth did San Francisco 49ers team lose this football game? And even in the midst of that, because, you know, we looked at this game as the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers playing at the Usher concert. So we'll talk about the halftime performance that is of Usher. And then we kind of like, then we'll kind of recap our favorite moments of the NFL season. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a brief time out. We'll keep that intro, and we'll be right back here on Couch Coach Live. Shout out to our guy, Big Kirko. He did his thing on the NFL honors. I wish when we did the show Thursday live, I should have kind of pushed it a little bit forward, because we would have been able to kind of see that in real time and kind of react to that. But shout out to our guy, Big Kirk. Look like he could be ready. So, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if Minnesota want to go pick my boy back up, or he might want to go up a little, you know, a little east a little bit to Pittsburgh, but we'll see.
I heard they love him out there. Think about it. Yeah, I heard they love him out there, so he probably ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, shout out to Big Kirko, man. He's gonna be healthy and back and better than ever next year. So coming off the Achilles injury, so he's a free agent. You know, I don't know. You know, we gonna find out where his destination is. Probably about a little over a month. So that's gonna be another fun thing to look forward to as, you know, the weeks and months progress as we conclude football season tier. But we're here. But So let's talk about last night's Kansas City Chiefs victory over the San Francisco 49ers. So we got to talk about our takeaways from Super Bowl 58. Maui, what are your takeaways from last night, Scott?
Man, wonderful game, man. Like, even, you know, the first few hours, it was just, I just was on the edge of my seat. It was like a roller coaster ride, you know? Like I said, 49ers, they did, they fought. They just didn't capitalize on a lot of their, I'm not going to say that. I just, my takeaway is it was great. Overtime game, I think everybody got what they deserved and what they wanted even more. You know what I mean? Like, all day, the whole day, place I went to, everybody was, seemed like in good spirits. A lot of people's team wasn't, I guess because a lot of people's team wasn't in the Super Bowl, a lot of places I went to, but a lot of people played a lot of Super Bowl pools. cooking a lot of wings and barbecue, a lot of bean dip, you know what I mean, for the atmosphere. But for the game, man, I just was satisfied. I don't really know. I mean, we're going to go forward and we can go in detail, but I was extremely satisfied. I felt like it wasn't – I felt like they really let them play, too. They really let – let's kind of – and it was just nothing – I just was satisfied. I got everything I wanted. That's all I really could say about takeaway from the game. Like, I just was extremely satisfied.
Yeah. It was a few. Obviously, I look at the takeaway, number one takeaway, defense wins championships. Right. I know a lot of people, we have had to kind of, you know, people say, well, no, you know, offense sells tickets, defense wins championships. Right. You look at, once again, like we talked about it in the Baltimore game, how as far as a certain series of plays, a certain defensive plays help propel this team. And once again, in this game, you look at the Chris Jones playing overtime and on third down, where essentially him pressuring Brock Purdy to a point where if he didn't get pressure, if Chris Jones didn't get, almost barely get home, he would have connected with Jennings, who I think Juwan Jennings would have been our Super Bowl MVP had the San Francisco 49ers win, obviously having that. Having the receiving two at that time, you know, if you would have connected on that and I'm playing overtime, two receiving touchdowns and then one passing touchdown. Right. And then I think that one of the biggest plays is Leo Chenault's extra point block, with 11:27 left in the first and in the fourth quarter, which had, you know, which the Chiefs was only down 16-13 compared to being 17-13. You see how that was like the tenor of the fourth quarter where, you know, it was, you know, towards the end as far as a bunch of like trading field goals. So obviously, you know, that helped Kansas City be less aggressive where, hey, if they'd have been down by four, they would have instances where, hey, we could just, we got to score in this possession versus, hey, we could just kick the field goal, put ourselves in overtime. So that was a big play. The, you know, the Chiefs are, you know, our modern day dynasty. They're the first team that's won back-to-back Super Bowls in 20 years. This is their third Super Bowl in 5 years. Patrick Mahomes, once again, another stellar performance. Three Super Bowl MVPs. Now, he's not even 29. He'll be 29 in September. And he's already a three-time Super Bowl MVP. Mecole Hardman, that's another one where we always say these games, it's always going to be an unsung hero, and he filled the bill. And shout out to our guy, Wild Card Mar, when he was on the Kansas City Chiefs preview. He talked about this. I think it was in the 18-30-something mark of that preview. He said he was going to be the unsung hero, so he was there. And I think the one thing is the Travis Kelce and Andy Reid situation. I'm going to put it this way. I think it was wrong for Travis Kelce to do that to Big Red. But he could have had his point further across, because I definitely think he should have been in that game. I should have been in that play. You know, that's the play that where Isaiah Pacheco fumbles, and you know, so you know, especially in that possession there when you're in the red zone, you know, you got to put Travis in. But I just didn't like the whole outburst. But they said that they apologized, and it's all. Right. Said done with, so my guy Kyle Shanahan, man.
See, I wasn't gonna go at all.
Trust me. Oh, we're definitely going in on Cal today because Cal deserves it. Unfortunately, in the game of this magnitude, once again, he blows another 10-point lead, and it's sad when you and it's funny when we look at those Super Bowl graphics going forward. He's going to be three of those Super Bowl runs are going to be tied to him. Obviously, that 28-3 against the Falcons, him as OC. You know, the last Super Bowl in Super Bowl 54, where they were down by 10 and going into the fourth quarter, and Kansas City scored 21 unanswered. Then you having a 10-0 lead with about midway to the second half, to the second quarter. Come on now. And just, I think a lot of it is two more takeaways.
Okay.
You just look at the 49ers, and they did everything that they could have done right in the first half. I mean, you held Travis Kelce to one reception, 1 yard. You balled him up. Goodness gracious, Chase Young beating that Donovan Smith. He was manhandling him in that first quarter. It was almost like he was getting home. He got Patrick Mahomes. And then it's just amazing to me how Kansas City is just the unorthodox champion. A lot of it, it's the weirdest thing, because there was a lot of moments in that game where you definitely thought they were going to fold. I mean, you look at, we talked about the Travis Kelce situation I just talked about earlier. That didn't affect them. The Patrick Mahomes throwing an interception, an inopportune interception in the third quarter, Jair Brown, him. And then you look at how frustrated they were, and look how the Chiefs defense looked in the fourth quarter. They looked fatigued, but they was able to get through that and make it through and also persevere, especially in that overtime, because I did not think how they were looking in the fourth quarter. I think those guys were so gassed, like, to a point they needed oxygen masks. And then for them to come back in the second half and only hold San Francisco in the overtime and pretty much was in that game, you know, the defense was on the field the whole, just about the majority of that overtime period. It was able to hold them to a field goal. So, I mean, yeah, it was, like you said, it lived up to the hype. And I told people this, you know, this was going to be a good matchup. We all knew this was going to be a good matchup. It wasn't going to be a blowout type of fashion. It went down to the wire, literally.
I don't think the Chiefs are that team yet to, like, just blow a team out, like, in some type of way. Because, like, I went and watched all their Super Bowl wins, you know, today. And I was watching the Eagles one, and it was almost identical. Now, I won't say identical, but it felt the same. You know what I mean? Back and forth all the way to the end. And on that note, when you say about takeaways, I just felt like, I don't know, I just feel like they have tactics that they do. I think they said, we're going to go through this first half, and we're going to try some other things. I didn't understand why he didn't have Kelce in the game either. It seemed like every time he ran Pacheco, number 10, he seemed, yeah. So a lot of times he didn't have Kelce in the game. And I said to my dad, I said, why would you do that? I want to have Kelce in the game every time. You know what I mean? Because that's who they're going to be looking for. I just didn't understand that. But, hey, man, I don't have a Super Bowl, and it seemed like to me Andy Reid know what he's doing. I'm not even going to lie to you. It is too much film. It is too much film for them to watch that you say these dudes are doing the same thing almost every Super Bowl. They're not doing anything extra. They're doing the same thing. Let me see. I kept saying in the first half, I said, man, he's looking very Lamar Jackson. Like, why isn't he running the ball more? Why isn't he scrambling more? And he really didn't. And I'm going to tell y'all something. He runs when he needs to run, and he slides when you don't think he's going to slide.
Yeah.
And then when the game is on the line, you think he's going to slide? He's not. He's going to go for it. You know what I mean? And that's Patrick Mahomes. But, man, I'm giving a shout out to Andy Reid, because we could talk about Kyle Shanahan, but let's not forget Andy Reid and Donovan McNabb and the times that they were there and they lost. You know what I mean? When he was with Philadelphia, a lot of times and now look where he's at right now. Like, pretty soon we're going to start looking at him like he Bill Belichick. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I honestly think he should be in that conversation. Right. When you sit down and you really think about it, because he had a great run in Philly combined with this situation. So, and it's funny, like, and I think we talked about this in the preview where he reminds me of kind of how we look at Kyle Shanahan, that, you know, as far as that deploying the leads, but getting there and falling short. Obviously, those Philadelphia Eagles teams that he took to the NFC Championship game and lost. And then, you know, they finally had that breakthrough in 2004. They finally, you know, won and finally made to Super Bowl. And then they lost to the Patriots. So you look at it just from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, I think if he continues, I mean, I think if he gets about five, I think he can really start. I think even next year, if he three-peats, I mean, because now he'll do something that I don't even think no one has ever done. I can think of who won three consecutive, because I think even the Cowboys, I don't think they won three in like four, like three,
was
like
the Broncos?
5 years. They went back to back.
Okay.
But I think because the Cowboys won because we won in 92. Well, 91, we won. They won in 92, 93. That's right. So they won like three within like a 4 or 5 period. So I think if he can get three consecutive Super Bowl wins, I mean, you really can put him in the conversation as the greatest coach of all time, potentially. But he got to get there. But You know, that's the thing where I think if he gets, if he can get to win three straight Super Bowls, mm-hmm. I mean, he's in that conversation. I mean, he's in that conversation, right. You know, as far as even, you know, compared to like Bill Belichick, because he did mm-hmm. something he didn't do. And then you got to think about it. Bill Belichick, I think, well, was in between like 10 years between he won, you know, one Super Bowl between the other. So, you know, right. I think that if Andy Reid could get four and then get three consecutive Super Bowl victories in a row, there's got to be that conversation.
Right.
I think it's a conversation today. But I think it's even more heightened if he does the same feat next year.
Right. So on the Kelce and Andy Reid thing, I just feel like they figure out ways to motivate one another. You know what I mean? Like even when Rice and Patrick Mahomes, this is what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Don't feed into the tactics. Don't they Super Bowl champs. You know what I mean? Like just don't feed into that. You don't feel like, oh man, look, they over there arguing. No, they not. They doing what they doing. They've been playing together and been coached for the longest. Everybody can put their judgment. Oh man, that'd have been such and such. That'd have been such and such. Man, you don't know the definition of their relationship. You don't know any of that stuff, man. They try to figure out because we human. Everybody got nerves and butterflies. Yeah. But I'm gonna tell you something, which was important is they. I heard somebody say this is a different type of halftime. It's 20 minutes long. And they said this, and I'm thinking myself, see, they're playing chess. They weren't playing checkers. They know if you look at the stats, like I'm thinking, don't get me wrong, McCaffrey looked like he was killing this whole game, but he only got like 8 receptions for 80 yards, which is good, which is great. And then he got like 80 yards rushing. And I'm like, man, I just knew he broke 100 yards the way he was running all over the place. You know what I mean? Samuels only got like 33 passing yards and like 8 rushing yards. Like, and you, when you watching it, you thinking the 49ers are dominating. Like Kansas City look like they look lost. Like, you know what I mean? Like they something just didn't seem right that first half or even going into, and just they professional, man, they champions. They just capitalize on their opportunities.
Yeah. Cause most things that we talked about, like with the Kansas City angle, most of those situations that happen would have broken most teams. Like if you've seen this, mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen it happen essentially 2 weeks ago when the Ravens unveiled.
Right.
I mean, we've seen this time and time in this run. You even look at but going back to Christmas Day when you thought, oh shoot, this Chiefs team is not going anywhere. I think I even might have even said that where they're not even, you know, they'll be lucky enough to, you know, to because if we knew they were gonna be on the road, you look at the frustration, Travis Kelce, he slams his helmet. I mean, they, you know, it's and then you know, from there, I think that's the last time they've even lost a football game, it's probably since Christmas. So it's just one of those where I think you said, and it's a credit to Andy Reid to kind of, and he even said that even in that situation where Travis Kelce. The helmet, he was like, hey, we just needed to get that out. We needed to, you know, have those type of situations to kind of get us together, clean everything up and kind of humble ourselves. And I think that's the beauty thing about this team where, you know, most times, like you said, the whole thing with Rashee Rice, you know, he's a rookie. He's a guy, he's a young guy. So you think to yourself like, oh, he would have been, you know, that would have crushed him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then Patrick Mahomes, you've seen the emotion from Patrick Mahomes this year. And that's one thing, too. That's the beautiful thing about it, where, you know, your leader, you know, you see the different type of emotion. I mean, we've seen, like, in quarterback. Right. But I think now it's even more because you look at, like, the frustration after the Bills game when, you know, when he blamed the refs for the situation. But we know that Mr. Healthy Scratch was a contributor to that, to that play, so... Shout out to Kadarius Toney. Healthy Scratch.
To me, you have somebody that's arguably might be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. So me on a defense, okay, we're not winning. It is very important to us to keep containing this offense. So they either stop them, punt them, just keep giving him an opportunity. Keep giving him an opportunity. Because if he get the opportunity, he's going to capitalize on. Like, eventually, he's going to capitalize. And I don't think these dudes understand that, how great this, that Mahomes, like, you know, how great this quarterback really is. You know what I mean? I'm sure they do, but I'm just saying in general, that's what I would tell myself if I played the defense. Like, we got the golden ticket right here. So he's all over the place. This is all over the place. Things ain't looking. We just need to keep containing, guys. Keep containing. And that's what I kept saying. I was like, come on, Patrick. Like, run the ball, man. I said, as soon as you scramble, everybody's nervous. I kept saying it over and over again. They kept trying to run the ball. And I was like, okay. Then I kept saying to myself, okay, I'm looking at the score. And it was like 3-0. Then it went 10-0. Right. And then I'm sitting here like, okay, as long as they can keep it close, he's going to find a way. Like, that's all I kept saying. Yeah. Then by what, the third quarter, going into the fourth, what was it, 13-10?
Right? Let's see. I mean, it was 10-3 at halftime. Then they end up scoring because I know Kansas City went up 13 because they kicked another field goal.
Right.
And that's when they scored because that's when –
That was third quarter.
Boy, he didn't fumble off that punt. I think it was either a punt or a kick return somebody from the Chiefs, from the 49ers, it hit their foot, and then Ray McCloud tried to recover the cover from the hit.
So they had three going in the half.
I'm gonna pull it back up because on the play where they essentially got the lead, because I ended up being like, I know they ended up getting the lead because that was the Valdez-Scantling touchdown that was like 13-10. I think that was at some point in the third quarter, but I think one of it, I don't know if it was either the field goal, because the big play was the Ray McCloud play where it hit somebody from San Francisco, he was trying to recover it. And it ended up being fumbled. So, because I think, they went into halftime when she was up 10-3. And I think they end up kicking a field goal.
Right.
Kansas City kicked the field goal. And then they end up scoring on that Valdez-Scantling play. And then I think from there, that's when I call it the field goal, the field goal fest. Going into overtime, because pretty much that fourth quarter was nothing but field goals. But because Harrison Buckner scored. Okay, so at halftime was 10-3, obviously, because Butker he scored the field goal going into halftime. That put them on the board for the first time. Then Harrison Buckner hit another field goal with like 5 minutes to go in the third, and then Valdez-Scantling made that play on 16, and then that's when, like we said, it was a cavalcade of field goals, and pretty much was 19-19 going into overtime.
Right.
But
we even had record breaking longest field goals from both teams. I think one was like back to back. That's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, it's I'm just happy, man. Yeah. We were born, and I was born in 78, he was born in the 80s, and we able to see all these great players, man. Like, I was just sitting here today like, man, that was something to see. You know, we have plenty of stories. We could be like, man, that's, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
just got to see some, and these lights are big. Like, I was just sitting here, as I said, look how big this Super Bowl stuff is. Like, kids get watching in Nickelodeon, in the other one watching on Nickelodeon. It's crazy.
And shout out to Dora, yo. Shout out to Dora. She was telling everybody what to do. And before we get going, Dora should have told Cal Shanahan, when you won that toss, you should have elected to defer and let Kansas City get on the field. Dora should have been like, Coach Shanahan, don't do that. The new overtime rule suggests that everybody gets an opportunity to play. So when you kick a field goal, it's not both of those. It's another possession.
Swiper, stop swiping.
Like, Cal, don't go for it on phone.
Yo, he's crazy.
That's new overtime rules. Don't do it, Cal. That's what Dorsha came and be like, look, don't do that.
Kyle Shanahan, he looked lost. Like, even after when he lost, when he was on the, he just, and then his players looked like they just was in shock. Like,
I'm a stickler for this, and this we'll talk about the 49ers kind of more so kind of blended in. I had a strange feeling about Kyle Shanahan the moment he got off on the bus and got to that stadium. He got to that stadium, man. I swear, I'm telling you, every year when I look at these the pregame shows, I always look at when guys leave the hotel when they come and they come to the stadium, because that's when you can really tell, like, okay, who's the relaxed team? Who's the team that looks tight? Cal looked tight. It's so funny. Like, you look at everybody else. Everybody was loose. She even looked at, you know, Patrick coming in loose. Right. And it's something about Cal, because Cal got there early. Cal got there at 9 o'clock their time, which is like 12:30 here. Like, you know, he got there almost 6 hours early. You know, well, not even six. I mean, like, almost 8 hours. So Cal got there and he looked like a deer in headlights. He looked like if you ever look at like him arriving and getting to the stadium, you're like, yeah, this dude gonna lose.
Just didn't look. He just didn't look like he looked like he was almost like a disconnect. And he may don't coach like that, but he just didn't seem like he was interacting with everybody. He just seemed
nervous.
He seemed stiff.
To me, it looks like a more of a combination of him being nervous and scared. It's different than kind of what you've seen. Because what's funny is if you look at the opening day on last Monday, Cal was so relaxed, people thought he was drunk. He was so relaxed and kind of candid, people thought he was drunk. And then you look at fast forward to yesterday when he got to that stadium, I'm like,
CBD oil.
It's weird because that's how, and it's funny. Ever since like the Super Bowl when the Colts played the Saints that year and the Saints won, I looked at Peyton Manning, I was like, he losing. And it's something about looking at guys' body language suggests. Mm-hmm. And I said the same thing for Cam when he lost to Denver in the Super Bowl 50. I was like, it's something about the body language that suggests, like, because everybody always tells you, you know, and that's their speak of, oh, we're going to treat it like it's a different week. Like it's the same week. You do the same thing. But we all know that's just like everything in life. Like, you know, certain days of the year, is it just day, whatever, on the calendar. Certain days, it's certain emotion that evokes to you. So, you know, if it's a big day or something, you know, something like that, you're going to feel it. And the same thing with this one, Super Bowl. So, like, you know, you look at it, I was like, Cal, compared to how Big Red just looked like he was just chilling. Like, he just ate a hamburger and like, hey, let's do it.
So he's like, he about eat the hamburger. Let me get with the burger.
They got him a burger on set after the post game yesterday. But yeah, because I remember one year. So this was, you know, we'll talk about it. Before we catch another one. So Andy Reid, when he this was last year. So this was Christmas of 2022. They gave him a present. They put it in a Nike shoe box, and it was a cheeseburger or a hamburger.
Where is my chocolate shake?
Yeah. Big Red loves some cheeseburger. I mean, Big Red loves burgers. He go, once all said and done, when he retired, he'll have a nice big old cheeseburger ready for him.
Right. Is that Five Guys over there? No, yeah, not man. Five Guys. That In and Out?
Yeah, they got him In and Out. They got him In and Out. ESPN, yeah. When he came on stage, him and Chris Berman and Booger.
What? Like, he looked relaxed, man. Like, he had him a burger.
it's weird. I'm telling you, man. If you ever, like, I know I'm the geek of it all, but you know, because I was watching the pregame stuff. Like, it's like 1 o'clock. Like, it started like really NFL Network starts at 9 o'clock.
Right.
And then I transitioned to whoever covering it like around 1:30, 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. And I always like seeing those arrivals because it's different compared to, like, you know, they have arrivals during the regular season, but this is like heightened. This is like they show you, you know, they getting on the bus and then they show you kind of, you know, get on the bus and then going to the arena, man.
You know, it's funny, man. Like I always say this, you know, when I talk about like Ric Flair, when he used to do his promo, he used to say that, like, hey man, you got to walk that aisle. You got to do these interviews. You got to look at these. You can't let these lights, you know what I'm saying? Only, it's only certain people that can do it. You know, it's only certain people that can do it. Like, you know, that's what Floyd Mayweather, when you fought him, you had been used to having the best hotels that brung the best food, and because you're supposed to be in training and being disciplined. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to deal with all of that, man. You know, being a Super Bowl, man, you know how many interviews? Like, you trying to worry about the game, but it's all the extra stuff that comes with it.
Yeah. And yeah, that's one thing would this be the 15th year of me looking at being a body language doctor at Super Bowl on Super Bowl Sunday. But yeah, but we kind of talked about Cal, so we definitely want to kind of now talk about our thoughts of why the San Francisco 49ers lost yesterday. So what's your thoughts or your takeaways from the San Francisco loss, essentially?
I mean, I think Brock Purdy did through. I didn't get the stat. I forgot to get the stat about the third quarter because I felt like once they really in the second half started running the ball, it was looking really dangerous for Kansas City to me. I don't understand. And I think Cal did the same thing he did with Atlanta, man. Like, what is you throwing the ball so much? Why would you even – first of all, you got Samuels. You got a fullback that you use. You got McCaffrey. Like, man, you should have been running all over them. You should have been running all over them, especially once you started getting the lead. But bottom line is they capped that block punt and the block field goal and the punt, like you said, hit dude's knee, hit his ankle or something like that, and they recovered it. It's just they capitalized on the opportunities. And you can't – when you as the 49ers, and I guess this comes with being not as experienced as the Kansas City Chiefs is it is the Super Bowl, and you cannot constantly not capitalize off turnovers or opportunities. You can't keep – especially even dealing with a Patrick Mahomes – you have got to keep your foot on his neck. You either need to keep him off the field or you need to keep getting points. It can't be no punting. It can't be – you have to – you know what I'm saying? You have to have complete control of the game dealing with Patrick Mahomes. So that's why I just think they didn't capitalize on their opportunities as they should have.
Yeah. And I'd say the key number one thing, the reason why they lost, not knowing the overtime rules. And this is where – and this is something where this ain't something that just came out of thin air. Cal Usick's admitted that. Who else? Eric Armstead. Like, I'm like, you gotta understand the concept of the new overtime rules. Now, I can understand the situation where it was implemented this week, but it's been around for 2 years. So you mean to tell me within any of these practices that they'll never implement a strategy in the event if you're in overtime? That's kind of frightening. Like, to me, like, on the other end, you look at when, you know, they asked, I think either it was Chris Jones, somebody from the Chiefs, and they said, hey, if there's a situation where if we was even thinking if they scored, that we could have potentially would have went for two. I mean, that was their thought process. If in the event of San Francisco scored, that was a possibility, but that just lets you know that they worked on that game plan. So to me, not knowing about the overtime, that's crazy, because in hindsight, what you should have done, and like we said jokingly, as far as if Dora would have told you to let Patrick Mahomes get the ball first, because you want to see what Patrick Mahomes can do. Because what if you have a situation where Patrick Mahomes, you hold them to a field goal? So in your mind, you'll do the inverse. Okay, well, we're going to score because we're not going – I don't care what happened. We're going to – all our possessions are going to be four down territory unless we get to a point where Jake Moody can get us out of, you know, at least tie the game. Mm-hmm. Because when you sit down and you think about it, I don't want Patrick Mahomes to get the ball again. Like, if I could get an opportunity where I could get him in this possession, he score whatever, and I get an opportunity. And like you said, I would even maybe flirt with the idea maybe going for two, because I don't want Patrick Mahomes in this situation like he did here. He had 6 seconds left, and he threw the game-winning touchdown. Like, you know, and you want this game to be over. Like, you know, because you don't want to have – and we've known this, and it's a thing where you don't want the best quarterback in the NFL to have the ball in the last possession. We've known that's classic Tom Brady. Like, we've learned that if the Carolina Panthers ain't learned that, at the time, the St. Louis Rams – the Philadelphia Eagles, like these teams, you know, these teams that have played them, well, you know, that have played them and lost to them in those type of fashion, you know, and so you don't want to have the best quarterback in the National Football League to have the last possession. I understand this. They have San Francisco 49ers having a great defense, and Steve Wilson is a great guy. But I am not relying on Steve Wilk and his defense to stop the best quarterback in this league. No. I want the ball last.
Right. I got you.
I would put all my money in the Coles cash or whatever Brock Purdy be wearing on, you know, for him to be the one to take that last possession. But I'm telling you, man, and it's just, and like I said, and I think that whole strategy of them not knowing overtime rules. Because obviously, in the past, whoever scores, it's like it's at the time, right. It's sudden death. Because right. You know, this before, and it's funny to think people, this was used to help. This was supposed to be something that was used to hurt the Chiefs. Because remember, that was in that game where Buffalo and Kansas City 2 years, I think now almost 3 years ago, where Kansas City scored. And they, you know, they end up beat Buffalo, but they didn't have, you know, they felt as though it wasn't fair for them not getting an opportunity to get a ball in the second half. And then the rule that was supposed to be against Kansas City helps them in this game. So it's just interesting. This, like the NFL, I mean, we can go for hours talking about storylines about this team. So that's the first thing. And even to your point, why are you being so conservative? To me, if I'm down, if I'm up 10-0, every possession, I'm gonna treat every possession as if I am down 0-0. Or hell, I'm gonna act like I'm behind. Because at the end of the day, you have a double-digit lead against the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's never safe. It regardless of who you're playing, leads like that is not safe. But you got a guy like Patrick Mahomes that can turn. You've witnessed this. This man scored 21 points on you 4 years ago, almost 4 years ago to that date, in the fourth quarter. Like, this is the whole conservative nature going between, I would say, when they had that, when they got, went up 10-0. And I think it was like 4 minutes ago in the second quarter. And then, fast forward to when Kansas City got the lead 13-10, those should have been the opportunities where you should have got, like you said, then Jair Brown playing. That should have been a great opportunity for you to do something on that drive to kind of get yourself going. You didn't. It's like you punt it away, and I was like, it was just too conservative. And then the final thing I want to talk about, I don't think it necessarily affected it in a sense, but it kind of did. I think that Drake Greenlaw injury, that when you have an injury like that, I don't care what type of team you're on, that's going to take something out of you. I mean, we know that guys, you know, people always say, next man up, but that was a freak injury where he literally was getting ready to get on the field and tears his Achilles as he's running onto the field. Like that type of situation, that's gut-wrenching. And you you can see where a lot of those passing lanes are kind of clogged up during, you know, before this situation. I don't know if I could say if they would have had Dre Greenlaw, you know, he would have, you know, he would have made a significant difference. But when you lose a guy like that and how much he means it is to this team, that's gut-wrenching. And that's one of the things where that could be a momentum killer. When you have a guy like that who, now, he didn't get hurt on, like, a, like if he got contact, hey, it's a part of the game. But this man was literally just running on the field and tears his Achilles. Mm. Like, crazy. And it's so crazy because it was during a commercial break. And then our guy Romo warned us, like, hey, you get ready to see something, and it's really going to be, like, earth-shattering. Man, I seen that. I was like, holy cow. Like, yeah. Man, that was that sucked. But that's why I look at how the San Francisco 49ers lost this football game. And yeah, but most of it's gonna go on Cal, man. This solely on Cal, because I think, like you said, I think in my personal opinion, and first before we, you know, and also we gotta apologize. Y'all better apologize to Cameron Newton.
Yeah.
Because what he said about our boy, right. Game manager, because you look at it in this game where Brock Purdy played well enough to win this football game, but it was just certain plays like we talked about in that inverse when they had that lead, you know,
right.
in those sequence when they had that lead, he could have had more, because look what happened on the other end. You look at what Patrick Mahomes did. He made plays like he gutsy. He 4th and 1. He's in shotgun formation. We're like, what the fuck is he doing? But Patrick Mahomes, what he do? He runs that ball, get that first down, and scrambles. And I'm like, Brock Purdy can never. It's a young kid thing. But that's where, like, when we talk about when Cam Newton, what he talked about, and that just shows you exactly what he's talking about. So for the ones who keep on hating on him, he proved his point. His point was proven last night.
I think during this Super Bowl, he was able to sit down with people and really explain what they're saying. They're like, oh, I get what you mean. Like, because nobody's looking at Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady is the elite and one of the greatest game managers that's ever done it, because he is the GOAT. If you knew before he got Randy Moss, if you left him a minute at 20, it was crazy. Yeah. Like, just to watch him just go. He knew exactly when. And I said the same thing about Patrick Mahomes. I was like, man, at one minute I was almost losing confidence, because I was like, come on, man. I know y'all got plays set up for a last 3 minutes, a 2 minute drive. And some of it was like overpassing. Some of it was, and I think that's almost made me feel like that's part of it, to stop the clock, or, you know what I mean, by a certain period of time. But I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let you keep going. I think also the third down conversions, 49ers was 3 for 12 and Kansas City was 9 for 19. Yep. And I'm just saying, like, you know what I mean? To keep it going, it just seemed like my dad said, he said the difference is that the Kansas City was playing to win and the 49ers was playing not to lose.
Yep. And you look at, and yep, and it's all a microcosm of the last three times that Kyle Shanahan was a part of the three teams that he blew those 10-point leads. It's like that. And it's just, and you can look at overtime sequence the same way, because what they thought was, okay, and thank God they didn't score, because and I got this from Dominique Foxworth. Just imagine San Francisco would have scored, they would have thought they won the Super Bowl. That would have been so embarrassing. I'm serious. Like, and that's so embarrassing to think. You think confetti gonna go? That's enough. I'm telling you. That's if that would have happened, they would have definitely lost that football game, because it reminded me a lot of, if you go back to when Miami and Ohio State played in the national championship, and Miami thought they won, and that's when they had that penalty. I think it was a hold on. It was a hold on. I forgot who it was from Miami, and then Ohio State was able to get another possession. It would, I'm telling you, if they would have scored, it would be eerily similar to that, because everybody would have got on that field and we'd have been like, what are y'all doing? Like, y'all know Kansas City to get the ball back. So then you think you got that emotion, then you think about that defense, that all that energy coming up and celebrating, you still got to play Patrick Mahomes for another possession. So it's just like, it's one of those where it's just like, that's where, like, that overtime rule thing is, I'm telling you, it's almost to a point where Kyle Shanahan had to write that on a chalkboard like 100 times during the offseason. Because, I mean, he got to implement that in the preseason, in OTAs.
For me, like, that's the San Francisco 49ers, man. Remember me and you, when we first started talking, I said, I don't understand. You paying, you got all these coordinators, all these assistant coaches, all these different people, and you don't have somebody to tell you, say, hey, we're going into overtime. Look, if we score, they have an opportunity to score too. You have iPads. You have all these different – like it's no excuse. Yeah. And I can see, you know, no disrespect to any other – you know, it's an NFL team, so it's all, you know, high class, but it's the 49ers. This is no excuse. No, and then you go out there and literally tell everybody that you didn't know the new rules.
Right.
I wouldn't have said none of that. Great game. Yeah, man. But why did you not want to go second? I didn't want to put that much pressure on Brock. He's a young
or something. Right.
Right.
Because right. I'm telling you, man, that oversharing, man. I've been like, hey. We know about oversharing. Like, you can't be oversharing, especially like that, because that lets me know you just weren't prepared. And that's right. Where it's like, in the biggest game, you weren't prepared. Because I don't know why you didn't think that overtime is possible. That's why I'm like, I find it very weird. But.
No, because we've worked with people that are up here, and then they'll be like, well, why is this like this? And you're looking at them like they're trying to be rude or ignorant to you, but they really don't know. Yeah. You know, it's yeah. Just you just wouldn't think, oh, is that Jordan? I want an apology.
Yeah. He said 49ers PAT miss and not returning the football in the third costume. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we talked about it in the beginning, especially that Leo Chenal play. So yeah, big time. So we got to talk about.
I know we got to talk about one more thing, but let me tell you what I've noticed in these Super Bowls too. There's always, like, what's the odds of somebody kicking the ball or punting the ball, and then the ball comes down and hit them in they ankle or they shin, and then all of that stuff happens for, and especially for a team like Kansas City. That's why I said, man, it's magic. You got to play through that magic, because them Chiefs, boy, let me tell you, they got more magic than the Patriots. I tell you that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's wild. So, you know, we talked about, you know, this, you know, obviously the game, but the biggest thing, obviously, and from a pop culture standpoint, because a lot of people looked at, you know, these two teams were playing at a concert, an Usher concert. So let's talk about the halftime show. What was your thoughts on the halftime show?
Man, I'm happy for him, man. Like, me growing up, I remember Usher singing on an old show my age, I guess, on a show called Star Search.
Whoa.
And... No, you didn't go there. No, you didn't.
I know it. That's what I'm saying.
But, you know, like when he stopped the music and before he did Superstar, he was like, you know, I worked hard to get here. And he said, shout out to you, Mom. We did it. I thought that was what's up, because his mom was his manager. You know what I'm saying? But I have no complaints. I think, you know what, one thing I did like about it, I don't think it was too much. I think it was real cool and smooth, show you the different songs. It was nothing over the top. You know what I mean? Like sometimes I think when 21, was it 21? I don't know. It was one they had, and I think it was in Atlanta. I was like, they doing too much. You know what I mean? So it was great, man. It wasn't better than the Dr. Dre one. I don't want to put it down, but I think it was great for him. And it was great, you know. I know one more thing. Oh my goodness, Alicia Keys. Lord have mercy.
Oh yeah. Mm-mm-mm. I think we all was talking about that.
Ah man, she done went to the top. Like when she did that, she got up, took that down, took that one walk. I said, oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I didn't expect to have red velvet cake at my Super Bowl party.
Yes.
Under Ocho.
I think she got two kids, right? Man, yeah. And you know what's crazy? Like, she don't wear no makeup. Oh my god,
I know, right? That's even crazier. Mm. Like, I know, right? that boy, Ocho.
I see you going. I'm with you.
Right.
I see.
Yeah, right. Be like, all right, now. All right, now.
Okay, okay. I see what you put in the pot. You cooking.
I'm like, Ocho, I did not think I seen some red velvet cake on my plate last night. I ain't had no sweets, but I had some red velvet cake, Ocho.
Shoot. She look at me the wrong way. I show her about a real Rough Rider.
Stop.
Trump.
All right now, Ocho.
Oh, I'm just saying. You know what I mean?
All right, Ocho. I'm about to go in that private jet, Ocho.
He said, man, what? He said, how come you ain't tell me such a? He said, because you Ocho.
All right now. This man, I would say, all right now.
He said, they got an award for 500,000. And he was like, man, I ain't never won nothing, man. I just want to tell the fans and everybody who means so much to me. I was like, what is she talking about?
All right, now, I ain't going to talk over here. We're talking about, I don't know, Alicia Keys the law. When they talk about me, when I talk about Jess Hilarious. But Ocho,
ooh, boy.
Just like my grandma used to tell you, boy. When they wear a weird dress, it's the one. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, no, nah, but I do remember Star Search as well. Star Search was it was like our American Idol, where we found the next superstar, and you know, so yeah, shout out to our guy Ed McMahon, rest in peace. You know,
right.
Trust me, I know. We know. Trust me, we a gray old man like myself remember Star Search. It's no,
but this is show. And coming from Star Search,
yeah,
and then actually being on, you know, it was great. I mean, I'm serious, man. Like, we grew up with him,
yeah,
and you know what I mean. And for him to be up there, I really, and then you know, you hear the music, and you know, I think about all the good times in Richmond, and I'm happy for him, man.
Yeah, and I think it was great. I mean, to me, I know a lot of people had issues with them, but I'm like, but to me, I look at it. That man has over 30 years of hits. To me, it was an appetizer sampler. I know I had to inject fat stuff into the conversation. It was everything you needed. I mean, all his hits that like you said, it brings you back to a time. Like we talk about, yeah, that reminds me of when, like I said, we're dating ourselves at this point. Right. When I was like, you know, I was 20. I remember when that song came out, I was 20 years old, which now, God, it's like 20 years ago, you know,
right,
that type of stuff. And I remember, you know, all that stuff. And it's just, and it you know, you got to think to yourself, this was a concert and it was condensed in so many times. Like, he jam-packed that 15-minute concert. And I think it was great. All the appearances, obviously, you know, like Lil Jon, Ludacris. And it's almost like all of it encompassed different types of, I say, the emotion. And then also just the eras that you in, you remember, yeah, like we talked about with yeah, mm-hmm. Then also my boo, you know, obviously, you know, mm-hmm. You know, I might have been in love with a girl at the time that didn't have a mattress, but I'll be quiet. And it's, hey, anyway, let me chill out. See, there I go. Hey, slow your roll. But anyway, let's stay focused. But in all seriousness, I think it was a great performance. You know, being able to incorporate, like, you know, like we talked about, you know, Alicia Keys, Will I Am, right. Her.
Well, I am like a damn fool. I ain't gonna lie to you, but I mean,
he got new Apple glasses or whatever things. So he looked very futuristic.
When he drives his car, it plays stays like a synthesizer in his.
Yeah. I don't know what, dude. But yeah, but then you just look at all the other stuff, like as far as like the bands. And then the skating,
man, you know, and
yeah, and it's like, and of course, you know, a lot of people was like, why is he skating? I'm like, this isn't for you. Cause I mean, just like we're talking, that's what Usher does. He skates like how we talk, you know, we talk and all the time.
Right.
It's the equivalent of him. He's a skate king of Atlanta.
Yeah, it's part of Atlanta's history. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so that's why I was like, if you don't understand the significance of him skating, just go to the bathroom for 15 minutes and then watch the rest of the game. It's okay.
So, like, for instance, me personally, I think that the reason he even, I mean, he deserved it, but even more, he's had this residency at in Vegas, what, about 2-3 years now?
Like 2.5 years, yeah.
How long?
2.5 years, yep.
So check it out. Do you know how many people are leaving from across the world, not just America, to Vegas just to go see his show?
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So he deserves it. It's probably it ain't too many. I mean, I know it's a lot of people got residency, but it's not too many in the culture that's trending. That it's not Usher. Like Usher is trending. Like everybody know that he's going to sing. He's going to call out whatever celebrity and let everybody cheer for him. If a woman's there, he's going to sing. It's, I hate to tell people, it's really a part of the show. You know what I mean? Because Usher really is not that guy that say, hey, I'm going to go ahead and try to serenade and take your chick. That's not Usher. That dude is from Petersburg.
Yeah.
That dude is from Petersburg. That's Dirty his nickname. Mackin.
Like, you know, Dirty, you know. Mackin.
Right. And the other one, the other one used to be a president. He's from Arkansas. Anyway, we don't keep that move.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you're right about that. And like you said, normally when you think of residencies, and like you said, especially from our culture,
right?
You think of like Celine Dion. You think of like Wayne Newton. You think of, you know, people who, you know, that aren't in the hemisphere of our culture,
right?
Quote unquote. Yeah, like you said, we don't have guys like that do residency. Because like I remember with Russia was doing residency, because normally you think that's reserved for somebody that's like older. Like, you know, most of the artists who have had residencies from my recent memory,
right?
And I know I think Prince might have did a residency.
I was thinking that too. He did.
But you think about it, Prince was like in his 50s at the time, and you wouldn't think of. Usher maybe like what, 46, 47, right around that age range.
Oh, he's my age, 45.
He's 45, yeah. What are you doing, 45? Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah. But I don't know. That's another thing where it's that age weirdness. Like, it's like, because you think, when I think of Usher, I always thought when he came on the scene, he was a lot older, but not realizing, hell, he's probably teenagers. He probably was, you know.
Right.
Like, real talk. Like, but I'm saying, it's just, you know, you sit down and you really think about it. So it's kind of like you said, it is different, you know. It's, you know, and even with a guy like a Prince,
mm-hmm.
as far as just the, you know, because you look at like Usher, like he's in the age range, like he is like our culture. But like, yeah, I loved it. And I think it's just one of those where it's just like, I mean, he's the R&B singer. I don't know what you expected. Like, to me, it was like I said in the beginning.
Right.
It was an appetizer sampler. I got the sliders, I got the onion rings, I got the chicken wings, boneless chicken wings,
right?
And everything. I got what I wanted, you know. It's a 15 minutes. It ain't like he's, you know.
And he did good with the effects. That's what I'm saying. He did good with the effects, but he didn't do anything out of the normal that I had never seen with Usher, and I love that. It was really about these hits, this music, and he didn't even dance hard. You know what I mean? He kept it.
Yeah.
You can see his showmanship, maturity by staying in one spot and dance what he need to, but he sung from his soul. He was singing live, like it really wasn't. Yep. I know nobody wanted. Yep. Everybody want to speak about the greatest, you know, Michael Jackson, but Michael Jackson lip synced.
Still,
I mean, who cares? Because you get to sing, but this dude sung at a mic. Yeah. You know, he sung live. So, but yeah, man, it's nothing wrong. It's just Usher. I mean, it wasn't nothing over the top. It's just Usher.
You know, I mean, and it wasn't supposed to be that way. I think it's for what he does, and you know, I never went to one of his concerts, but a lot of people say it's really just a sample size of what you would see in his concert. So I mean, I'm like, hey, you know,
I know one thing. They traveling from across the world to go see it. As people, I'm telling you, you go and talk to a hairdresser or somebody like that. And that's what they say. They're not just going to Vegas. They're going to go see Usher. Lady who's doing my loctician, she went twice. She went when he went. She went twice to Vegas, and she saw him in Norfolk.
Yeah, and you look at now even his tour. Like, people are like, oh gosh, you see how many people talk about his tour coming up, and now he's adding more dates, and you know, it's just it's. And it's perfect. And then obviously him having that new album that came out Friday, it's like he's created such a buzz. And it's just like, and that's what it was smart for him to create an album to help generate that buzz, because a lot of people always think, well, why are these performers, they perform for free for the NFL? But I'm like, the promotion alone is going to get you to it. because even they was even saying that Yale now is, you know, as far as charting up, as far as streams on Spotify. And but it's all of it. And then you think about it, like, with, you know, if you listen to the all the coverage, you know, from the NFL Network, CBS, pretty much anybody, the major networks who have covered Super Bowl all week will play Usher music. So of course it's just that constant, you know, that's just that constant promotion that you can't get anywhere else, you know. So yeah, it's infectious, and it's like, yeah, I mean, I'm really curious who's gonna be in next year. Especially if being in New Orleans, I'm like, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be very. I always
look forward. Go get the tank.
All right, Joe.
Go get Silta Shaka.
Could you imagine that? And then just like, because people even showed up about, like, could you imagine, like, oh my gosh, why is this military style tank is in here? Like,
dude, I can see it now.
Are they wearing Ricky Williams jerseys?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Sweet heavens.
Oh my gosh. You win. You know they will. You know they will. All that.
I was like, what is this? Bentley's, Hummers, and room.
Do you think they're gonna give it to Lil Wayne?
I don't know. I would really be interesting, though. I mean, they normally don't, but I gotta think about this is the Jay-Z era. So, you know, because it's a possibility, because he let Dr. Dre kind of do his thing in LA.
Maybe mix it with a band.
Jay-Z? Now with Jay-Z at the helm. I think it's more possible than, you know, because I remember when they had in Atlanta, they had Maroon 5.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. They had Maroon 5, and who was the dude? Was it? It wasn't 21 Savage, was it?
It was the other one.
Yeah, it was the other one.
One of the guys from Atlanta. But yeah, but I'm saying, but this is before Jay-Z took over. Mm-hmm. So it's a possibility. I definitely think he could definitely be there, and then. I mean, could you imagine that it's happened? Oh my gosh, that would be so funny.
I could see him with a rock band. I could see a rock, looks like they did in Atlanta, where it could be a rock, because, you know, he likes doing his music with a live band anyway.
Yeah.
I could see that, but it is New Orleans. I know they've been going hip hop and R&B for the last few years. You know right. what I mean? We know things have got to be balanced, so.
Yeah, because I know, especially now with Jay-Z taking over, I can see it. And then just we imagine who would be the guest. I know, because he even said, I know he interviewed, Taylor Rooks interviewed him the other day. He's like, shoot, he's like, I'm going to sing all everybody part. He was like, hey, bringing Bobby Valentino. I was like,
beep.
so I guess he's going to be like, Will.
Oh man.
Like a cop.
Like a cop. So it's probably gonna be Taylor Swift though.
I think people would like Weezy. She'd be like, it would be wild. And then they have the three-peat. Oh, don't do this.
I was on my buddy's house, and his daughter came, because we was outside in the garage while they were cooking. Mm-hmm. And his daughter came outside. TV's everywhere. She came outside. She was like, I came out here to see if I could see Taylor. I was cracking
up. Yeah, she had Taylor.
I'm looking for Taylor.
then she's going to bring Ice Spice and be like, you think I'm feeling you? Ha-ha, you're a monster.
Right. You bet not.
You bet not. You know.
You bet not.
Exactly. And then, of course, Joe Budden going to be there. Yeah, you know, because he love all that little ratchet stuff. I'm like, bro, you're 50 years old, dog.
Of course he does.
Lighten up. Right.
he's a loving hip-hop. Hall of Famer.
Pretty much,
you know. Hey, if you look at that, look, Benzino, I know we're going off subject, but Benzino, Stevie J and Joe Bud, Benzino and they take the steroids or something like this.
Right.
And then Joe Budden, you know, Mr. Conservative, but all of them like that ratchetness.
Big facts. So we'll put a obviously with the Super Bowl ending, with Super Bowl now, we gotta really go back and talk about our favorite moments of the NFL season as we close out this tremendous season that was the National Football League. So what was your favorite moments of this year? What you got?
Man, I got a few. Okay. First ones is the Raiders versus the Chargers. And it was 63-7.
Oh, Thursday night game. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And then what was the other one? The Broncos losing to Miami, the 70-20.
Oh yeah. Oof.
And then we're gonna get into the legal stuff. Kansas City versus Buffalo, 20-17. Kelce catches the ball and then laterals to Tony. Yeah. And then flag, and he lined up in the neutral zone. Yeah. Let me see. The Broncos drama, starting off 0-3, 0 whatever, and then ending up almost making the wild card. I thought that was interesting. The AFC South, three-way tie, and the merge of the Texans, definitely. And definitely the Lions. I think there's versus the Cowboys. I know I wrote down. What is that? I guess a freestyle. But the Lions called with illegal. It said illegal touch where the two guys came in. But then you figured out that they did do what they were supposed to do. It just was a bad call. But I also wanted to say that the coach probably should have kicked. What was it? He probably should have kicked the extra point.
Oh, you told Dan Campbell?
Yeah, I think once that happened, he should have went on ahead and either tried to kick the extra point or something. But he went on ahead and went for the 2 points. He kept going for it. But yeah, that's my favorite moments. I got one more. Definitely the biggest one. My family going to see into Pittsburgh to go see the Browns versus the Steelers, and the whole crowd saying "Fire Matt Canada" and Deshaun Watson throwing the ball against the Pittsburgh Steelers thing.
Yeah.
And then Matt Canada getting fired, and definitely my Steelers making a way.
Yeah. A lot of mine is just the emergence of the Detroit Lions. Obviously,
right.
A couple moments that stood out. Obviously, them going to Arrowhead in week one, beating the at the time was defending Super Bowl champions, now current two-time Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
Barry Sanders statue in front of Ford Field. I think that was a great ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And them having their first home game since like 1991 or 92 or what have you, beating, their former quarterback, Jared Goff. So that was Matthew Stafford, them beating Matthew Stafford, right. Jared Goff getting a win over, obviously those two were traded for each other. And then you talked about another game that involved Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions was against the Dallas Cowboys when Jimmy Johnson was elected into the Wall of Fame. They had a ceremony for him, and I thought that was going to be the exorcism of the Cowboys. But 2 weeks later, they end up losing to the Green Bay Packers. So that was great. Mm-hmm. And then also like you said, the Texans going to Indianapolis and win the AFC South. That was a great win there. What the hell is going on with this damn webcam? But we are back. I think, and then also just this Kansas City run. I mean, I think the funny thing about Kansas City going to Buffalo and Patrick Mahomes running out the field like a little child, and he's getting booed and also getting just a bunch of snowballs going his way, and him doing that and then them persevering and winning that football game. Mm-hmm. Just that whole run, I think it was fun. Obviously, them going to Baltimore and then that moment with Jason Kelce and Travis to coming together. I think that's always a, you know, a good moment, you know, to see those two like hugging and stuff. It kind of gets you kind of like, you know, make you just, you know, you just tell the love between them two. So I think that was kind of cool. But yeah, man, but it was such a great season.
Right.
It's funny to think I still even remember when we, you know, did the previews, you know, the division of previews, and then our script, our predictions going into the season, and then just how the season has been, man. It's just funny, the time just flies, but it's been a hell of a ride for this 2023-2004 NFL season.
Yep.
Yeah.
Man, ups and downs, and the one who actually, the team that actually won to me is the one is the actual team that should have won.
Yeah, and it was a very unorthodox, weird way, but they won. They won, and this was the opportunity I thought was going to be the year where, you know, Superman was going to get his kryptonite, but no, you know, he even in their worst display, they came out on top. And yeah, man. So we'll put a bow on our Couch Coach last Super Week. Your final thoughts before we head on out?
Oh man, great season, great time, great weekend, great food, great family, great people, great game, great halftime show. Ah, it's gonna be hard, but let's get ready for the NBA season.
Yeah, it's gonna definitely
and the USFL.
yeah, that's right. Too. And yeah, and then you know NASCAR this weekend at Daytona, mm-hmm. Super Bowl at NASCAR next week. But it's gonna, like you said, even though the football season always sucks, but like you said, you got the off season, we got the draft coming up, free agency. So it's still going to be – NFL is still going to dominate the headlines, but this time it'll be off the field more so than on the field. Right. So it's still going to be some good opportunities. And, you know, this is the best time of the year because we all are undefeated, and there's always going to be some type of optimism going into the season. Like, you know, So that's the beauty thing about it. We're all trying to, you know – get, you know, try to force Kansas City off that collision course for their three-peat. You know, that's everybody's job at this point is, hey, let's get to Kansas City if we get the opportunity, you know. So, you know, and so every now the goal now is to, you know, be the last two standing in New Orleans next year. And, you know, but that's the best time, you know, as far as, you know, the optimism. We all, you know, we're all at a point where, hey, we can have a positive outlook about next year, but you know, it is what it is. But so, social media and everything, just plug away social media. What you got?
Deshaun Morgan, Facebook, DT Morgan 78, Instagram. Man, appreciate you, man. It's been great.
Yeah, man. Yes, indeed. Yes. So, on social media, pretty much anywhere, social media, Couch Coach Live, that's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. That is concerned. Also, the website couchcoachlive.com. So, with it being the ending of the football season, yes. And this week's Couch Coach Live is powered by the good folks at SeatGeek. Head on to SeatGeek.com. Use the promo code couchcoach to get yourself $20 off your first purchase. So, before we head on out, it is the ending of the season. So, what we're going to do, we're going to take our tails to Cancun. We're gonna take a little bit of a little sabbatical. We'll be back, I want to say March the 20th. I think that's on a Wednesday, March 20th. So we'll be back on March the 20th. We're gonna take a little time off, about a 5-week break, but there'll still be some content around, obviously, with me still covering VCU women's and men's basketball. I still have updates on the Couch Coach Live page, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and all that. So you know, we'll still have that going on. And then some other events that's going to be going on between now and March. So catch you guys, not next week, but we'll catch you guys back on March the 20th. So we'll get you ready for the NCAA tournament. That'll be during like the league new year as well. So and we'll, you know, we might throw in some content in between, but we'll see. You know, we'll play it all out. We'll get that all squared away. So this has been this week's Couch Coach Live, man. We'll catch you guys back on March the 20th. And we're out.
Welcome.